Translation by Srila Prabhupada. One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants and horses, one's treasury, economic development and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse describes how the advocates of economic development are frustrated by the laws of nature. As the previous verse asks, Kim Vishayo Padadanai? What is the actual benefit of so-called economic development? The history of the world has factually proved that attempts to increase economic development for bodily comfort through the advancement of material civilization have done nothing to remedy the inevitability of birth, death, disease, and old age. Everyone has knowledge of huge empires throughout the history of the world, the Roman Empire, the Mughal Empire, the British Empire, and so on. But all the societies engaged in such economic development, sarvartakamaha, have been frustrated by the laws of nature through periodic wars, pestilence, famine, and so on. Thus, all their attempts have been flickering and temporary. In this verse, therefore, it is said, Kurvanti maryasya kiyat priyam chalaha. One may be very proud of possessing a vast empire, but such empires are impermanent. After 100 or 200 years, everything is finished. All such positions of economic development, although created with great endeavor and hardship, are vanquished very soon. Therefore, they have been described as chalaha. An intelligent man should conclude that material economic development is not at all pleasing. The entire world is described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam ashashvatam, miserable and temporary. Economic development may be pleasing for some time, but it cannot endure. Thus, many big businessmen are now very morose because they are being harassed by various plundering governments. In conclusion, why should one waste his time for so-called economic development, which is neither permanent nor pleasing to the soul? On the other hand, our relationship with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternal. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The pure souls are eternally in love with Krishna. And this permanent love, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a conjugal lover, is not at all difficult to revive. Especially in this age, the concession is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, one revives his original relationship with God and thus becomes so happy that he does not want anything material. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nadanam na janam na sundarim, Kavitam va jagadisha kamai. a very advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness does not want riches, followers, or possessions. Raya kalatram pashava sudarayo griha mahi kunjara kosha bhutaya. The satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps of a different standard, is available even in the lives of dogs and hogs. You should never stop a sneeze. You know, they say a sneeze leaves your nostril at 150 miles an hour. So if you have something like that building up inside your body and you stop it, it goes back inside your body. It's got to go somewhere. We were talking about that the other day, about expression. You suppress it, it's going to have some other effect. The satisfaction of possessing material opulences, although perhaps of a different standard, is available even in the lives of dogs and hogs who cannot revive their eternal relationship with Krishna. In human life, however, our eternal dormant relationship with Krishna is possible to revive. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has described this life as atadam. Consequently, instead of wasting our time for economic development, which cannot give us any happiness, if we simply try to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, we will properly utilize our lives. What a purport. You get these purports now and again. It's two paragraphs. And basically, Prabhupada says everything. Two paragraphs. One time, we'll get to that. Raya kalatram pashava sudadayo griha mahi kunjara kosha bhutaya savarta karma akshana bangura yusha kurvanti mat yasya kiyat priyam chala. One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows and elephants and horses, one's treasury, economic development and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? Umaginati mirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam shtapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangum langa yate girim jatkripatam aham vande Sri Gurun dinataranam. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prashtaya bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Once in the early days of the British Yatra, the devotees were invited to Amsterdam for Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, to appear on a television program, to be interviewed on a television program. And on the way, somebody made it known that actually Prabhupada was only going to be appearing for 2 minutes. And somebody started to apologize to Srila Prabhupada, was sorry that, we're putting you to so much trouble. They were traveling on the ferry and the train to get to Amsterdam. so much trouble just for 2 minutes. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, no matter. He said, 2 minutes or 2 hours, one should be able to present Krishna consciousness in full. So here we have two paragraphs, and Srila Prabhupada has completely assessed the spiritual world, the material world, and given the essence of Krishna conscious philosophy. So he wants his followers to be so prepared that, just like you see in the original the Hare Krishna people film, there's a little snippet of film there where Srila Prabhupada's arriving somewhere, and there's a reporter there asking, says, and Prabhupada says, everything you see belongs to God. And then he says, why have you come? He said, I've come to teach you what you've forgotten. You've forgotten God. So in a nutshell, so in indeed, Prahlad Maharaj, in a nutshell, has presented here the futility of a life of sense gratification. If one lives simply to gratify the senses of a material body, the possessions of which and the possession of which one will lose, not only do you lose everything that you own, or that you think you own, you even lose the body that you're living in, that you think you are. Just imagine how fortunate we are. This is good fortune to know this, because when you don't know this, your life is full of anxiety. Actually, everyone in the material world is anxious about money. You're either anxious about how to get it, or you're anxious about how to not lose it. Anxiety doesn't go away because you've got money. You might be able to gratify your senses, but this is pointed out here, and it reflects back to the instructions that Rishabh Dev Maharaj gives to his sons, that this sense gratification is available to hogs and dogs. Prabhupada elaborates it very fully in the fifth canto. He says, it is available to hogs and dogs that eat stool. Stool eating for a hog and a dog is sense gratification. They enjoy. They have acquired a set of senses which enables them to experience pleasure of the contacts of those senses with the objects of those senses. But the Lord, in the fifth canto of the Bhagavad Gita, gives the verse, Yehi samspasaja boga dukkha yonaya evate adyantavanta kuntaya nateshu ramate buddha. This is a very, very powerful verse. The intelligent person does not engage in sense gratification, contact of the senses with the objects of the senses, with a view to extract pleasure, because he understands that it is not actually the source of pleasure. It is actually dukkha yona, yoni. Yoni means the womb. Yoni means a womb. So the dukkha yoni is the womb of misery. In other words, one engages in sense gratification, and that is like conception. One thinks, under the influence of the bewildering energy of the Lord, that the contact of the senses with the objects of the senses, with a view to extract pleasure from exploitation of those objects, imbibing them, seeing them, tasting, hearing, smelling, touching, these objects of the senses. It is actually like the conception of a baby. And then the baby grows within the womb and it comes out. So every time a person engages in sense gratification, bhoga, in the material world, they're actually conceiving, bringing about the conception of what in the future will be a miserable condition. Dukkha yonaya. So one must acquire intelligence to understand this. Even you might get some understanding of this by your own reflection upon things. Dukkha layam ashashvatam, Krishna says, this is a material world, is a temporary place of misery. And one may, through analytical study of the material world, Sankhya, you may practice some form of Sankhya. Any intelligent person actually does this. We analyze things. Analyze things with a view to actually finding pleasure. Everybody's seeking pleasure. There is nothing wrong with seeking pleasure. We are by nature part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna's only concern is pleasure. Anandamaya vyasat. Krishna's only concern is pleasure. I think I've mentioned it here before. There was a man who came to see Srila Prabhupada, a journalist who came to see Srila Prabhupada here in his rooms at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he asked Srila, his first question to Srila Prabhupada is, what is the purpose of life? And Srila Prabhupada's immediate reply was, the purpose of life is to enjoy. But then he went on to explain, but we have lost the understanding of what is the actual standard of enjoyment. We have lost that understanding. Due to association with the three modes of material nature and the material elements, due to association with the material energy of the Lord, we have become forgetful of what is the real standard of pleasure. And by engaging in acts of sense gratification, without any understanding to whom all this belongs and what it all actually exists for, we bring about misery after misery after misery in our own lives. Again, in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's a very, very, again, one of those purports that just completely defines something. And the verse itself defines something, where Krishna says the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not assume the sinful or pious reactions of your activities. He's completely aloof from these things. But the bewildered living entity does not understand this. The bewildered living entity, in bewilderment, will ask, why am I suffering? Without understanding that I am suffering because of the reactions to my past activities. That I am actually responsible for my suffering. I forget that because this is the nature of bewilderment. And we need to understand very carefully why that bewilderment is there, why that forgetfulness is there. And it comes back to what we just said, what Srila Prabhupada said. The purpose of life is to enjoy. So we have entered the material world with a view to enjoying sense gratification. It is actually the mercy of the Lord that we forget all our past lives. Because there's untold misery there. Untold misery in our past. So in our bewildered condition, wanting pleasure, the Lord gives us forgetfulness of our misery. so that we can pursue our desires for sense gratification. But it is our desire that this whole situation has come about. Krishna is neutral to everyone. Whatever you want, he'll give it to you. So we are responsible for our dukkha, for our suffering. And until and unless we come in contact with a person who is not bewildered by the influence of the material energy, then we will remain bewildered. And there is no end to bewilderment. There is no end to the illusions that we can fall into. Many times we hear it said, sometimes when a devotee, due to the influence of Maya, the covering and throwing influences of Maya, sometimes we see devotee will fall back into old habits, bad habits, or become influenced by people who engage him or her in degraded activities. And then sometimes people will say, oh, when he or she hits rock bottom, they'll be back. But there is no rock bottom. There is no rock bottom. One time in a darshan in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was talking on this topic, and he said, if you want to, you can stay in the material world forever. Again, it comes back, what you want. There is no rock bottom. There is no end to the degradation that one can sink to under the influence of the modes of material nature. There is no end, Prabhupada said. He says, just as there is no end to the way in which Maya can punish you, kick you, there is no end to the development of blissful relationship with the Supreme Lord. We have come to this life of Krishna consciousness wholly and solely because of the causeless intervention of the pure devotee of the Lord by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Causeless intervention. Causeless means, A, there's nothing we did to cause it. There's nothing we did which meant that naturally this would happen. Yes? It is only Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai Shri Shri Govanitai ki Jai. There's nothing we did. Nobody dreams up, nobody comes to the realization that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naham prakasha savasya yoga maya samavrita. Krishna's covered when he says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that he's going to reveal the most intimate, the most confidential knowledge to Arjuna, the most secret of all secrets. What is he talking about? He's talking about himself. Just as we've been seeing in our Chaitanya Charitamrita classes of late, there is more and more and more and more confidentiality in understanding of Krishna. There's confidential, more confidential, and most confidential knowledge. But it is all knowledge concerned directly with Krishna, and Krishna remains hidden. Sutre mani ganariva. Everything rests upon me. Mata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mai savam idang protam sutre mani ganariva. Everything rests upon me. There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Beautiful string of pearls. But you don't see the thread. But without the presence of the thread, there is no string of pearls. Krishna remains hidden. And he will remain hidden forever. If you don't want him to appear in your life. And we didn't want Krishna to appear in our life because we didn't even know Krishna existed. Until there was this causeless mercy, this causeless intervention in our lives. Then we are given genuine choice. There is actually no choice in material life. It's the kind of choice you are given to say, would you like to die by taking arsenic or strychnine? You're going to die. So what does it matter? There's no choice. Choose your poison. That's all. In the material world, bhoga, sense gratification, is poison for the soul. So you're just choosing how I'm going to become entangled in the repetition of birth and death this way, or I'm going to become entangled in the repetition of birth and death that way, or the other, one way or the other, this, that, or the other. And it is unlimited, the ways in which you could become entangled. But it all rests upon what you want. Srila Prabhupada explains in the hell where you go to be reconditioned to become a pig. The Yamadutas feed you stool. And the day on which you say to them, I like the stool you served me yesterday better than the stool I ate today, you're ready for your pig's body. Because you have a discrimination based upon a taste and a desire. Discrimination based upon taste and desire. So we have to understand that we have been given the opportunity to desire something else. Now, of course, this desire is actually there within the heart. This desire to be in relationship with Krishna. But due to the covering potency of Maya, we have absolutely no idea of what it is, of who is Krishna, what am I, and what is this real, what is this love that exists between us? That is forgotten, lost and forgotten. But the desire never actually becomes fully extinguished. It just becomes bewildered. Prabhupada says in that purport, verse number 14 of the fifth chapter. I can't remember the verse right now. But he says, when the living entity becomes bewildered in his desires, the Lord will satisfy those desires. Krishna always reciprocates with every living entity according to the desire of the living entity. Krishna's Atmarama, he is self-satisfied. Prabhupada says Krishna's not coming to this material world because he's in need of some service. He's not coming here looking for some servants. He doesn't need anything. That's why he's inconceivable, because everyone else needs something. And what do they need? They need him. And whether one is conscious of Krishna or not, one is completely dependent on Krishna at every moment. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kangmano budirevacha ahankarati yang me bina prakriti rastara. In the material world, whatever you desire, whatever kind of life you want to live, is made up or whatever object you want to acquire, is made up of a combination of some or all of these elements. Completely dependent on Krishna. Actually, in one interview, press conference one time, one of the interviewers asked Srila Prabhupada, what is Krishna Prasadam? And Prabhupada indicated to one of his disciples there to answer the question, and the disciples started talking about the food we offer to Krishna, and Prabhupada interrupted him. He said, everything is Krishna Prasadam. By the mercy of the Lord, this material world has been provided for us. Purnam ada punamidam punat punam udachate punam punasha punam ada punam eva fajishate. Everything is provided. Everything is complete and perfect for the purpose that it was designed. Of course, somebody once asked, well, why, if it is perfect, then why is there imperfection in the form of birth, death, disease, and old age? And the answer to that, it is perfectly imperfect. It's the situation of imperfection is perfect and complete. The cycle is perfect and complete. Birth, death, disease, and old age. But it is all supplied by Krishna. It's all provided by Krishna, by his mercy. Because you want it. Because I want it. And as long as I want it, it will be there. And as soon as I really don't want it anymore, it won't be there. That's a fact. Prabhupada says here, the pure souls are eternally in love with Krishna. And this permanent love, either as a servant, a friend, a parent, or a conjugal lover, is not at all difficult to revive. Especially in this age, the concession is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one revives his original relationship with God, and thus becomes so happy that he does not want anything material. It's in our hands. Responsibility always lies with us. Take it or leave it, Krishna says. You choose, Arjuna. Because there's no question of love without surrender, without freely entering into the relationship. This is the whole point. You cannot force love. Cannot do that. That's the whole elucidation that George Orwell gives in his book 1984. The whole principle that he's trying to show in 1984 is that totalitarian government cannot force you to love. And you see the process by which the so-called love is forced is a process of torture and violence and restriction and imprisonment. But that is, we are in essence free. Krishna is free. He's Ashlishava Padara Tam Panasto Mam. Adashanam mahatam karotuva yata tatava vidha adhatu lampato mat prananatas tu sa evanapara. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he is completely free to do anything and everything. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and even though he may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, or treat me roughly by his embrace, He's completely free to do anything and everything. We are also relatively free. We are free to choose. Will we be under the influence of Mahamaya or will we be under the influence of Yogamaya? Will we enter into the external energy of the Lord or will we remain in the internal energy of the Lord? That's our choice. And we've exercised our choice and we've come to the material world. Krishna has intervened in our lost condition. The material world is a labyrinth which you can never get out of. Until and unless you choose that you want to get out, you choose this. And you can't even really have the full desire of what that means until you have Buddha, you have intelligence. And that intelligence, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna says, I give that intelligence. Tesham uvanukam patam aham agyana jamtamaha. What's the third line? Jnana deepena bhasvata. What's the third line? Nashyami atma bhavasto. Sorry. Jnana niyadukta kalmasha. I, dwelling within their hearts, out of compassion, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. That is what is happening to us. Because our love for Krishna has been reawakened by this chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our love for Krishna has been reawakened. And Krishna from within our hearts is reciprocating more and more and more with us. As our desire for him grows and grows and grows, and we go about the painstaking activity of pulling out all of the unwanted desires within our hearts. Choosing, no, I don't want to do that. I want to surrender to Krishna. No, I don't want nadanam, najanam, nasundaram. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want beautiful women. I just want this devotional service. When? Mama janmani janmani ishwari. Mama janmani janmani. In my life, birth after birth, I don't even want to get out of the material world anymore. I don't care. I just want this devotional service. That's all. Why? Because it makes me happy. You ask any assembly of people, what is it that you want in life? And it is always, I want to be happy. If you want to be happy, you have to understand the actual standard of happiness. And that happiness comes and is experienced by the practice of devotional service. This is actually why we need to preach, why we all need to put ourselves in contact with those people who do not have Krishna consciousness. Because by putting ourselves in contact with people who do not have Krishna consciousness, we will see how miserable they are because of their absorption in sense gratification. And we will understand the wholesomeness of our situation by virtue of one thing and one thing only, that we have become Krishna conscious. And then the seed of compassion will fructify within our hearts, and we will understand that there is no greater joy, no greater source of happiness than to actually somehow or another be involved in giving Krishna consciousness to others. one's own Krishna consciousness increases by giving it away. By giving Krishna consciousness, one acquires more and more and more loving feeling toward Krishna, because Krishna within the heart reciprocates with us. Not just within our hearts, but within those dealings of giving. We are not in the business of being Kripana, we are in the business of being Brahmana. Brahmana freely gives. Kripana keeps for himself. So the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement, the essence of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the giving of happiness. Freely giving. I think I have to stop there. Maybe one or two questions quickly, yes.